is our show. You can join us on the phones at 770-535-2911. We'll be open phones again in about 10 minutes until 10. But until then, we're going to be talking, as we do every week at this time, to our soldiers that are in the field. Lieutenant Ventura is with us again today from Baghdad. How are you doing, Lieutenant?
Hey, you're doing well, Martha. Thanks very much for having me.
Oh, doing great. Listen, let me ask you a question, and this may be a little out of your area. In Baghdad, that had not been open for a long time, but they said for over a month, they have had no problems. People are out shopping. They're doing things. Baghdad, I mean, is it fair to say that most of Baghdad is back to normal, although still under tight security, but people are functioning fairly normally?
It's certainly getting to that point. Even this week, the curfew has been extended to midnight for residents, so things like that are happening. The number of weddings in the area have tripled in the last month. There were three times as many weddings last month here as there were the month before. So things like that, you know, when you're able to focus on fantastic events like that versus worrying about your life or your home, I mean, that's a very good thing. And part of what's made that possible is a micro-grant program that's been started by coalition forces, which helps businesses here kind of get back on their feet with grants. So that's been very successful.
And how do how has your life changed? I mean, you've been there, what, about 3 months now, 3.5 months?
Yep, thereabouts.
Yeah, so how has your life changed? Anything at all?
We, working out of the embassy here, we really work in a very protected bubble. I mean, it's a war zone, and it's inherently dangerous, but it doesn't impact our day-to-day life here necessarily. And that's not the same for every troop in the field, certainly. There's many airmen, soldiers, sailors, and Marines whose lives have been changed by this, you know, those who are driving convoys and living in areas closer out to the field. But quite honestly, here at the embassy, it hasn't had the dramatic impacts it's had other places for our troops and, more importantly, for the Iraqi citizens.
Now, what do you want people to know the most this week that they may not know?
Well, the holidays are coming up and, still a week away. So just to be, thinking of us over here is always great. We really appreciate any types of thoughts like that we get from folks back home. Just that they understand what we're going through and that we are separated from our families during this time of year is, I think, an important thing to realize.
And let me ask you, too, because I get these questions this time of the year, and I think the deadline for getting things in time to Iraq is about December the 8th, I think is what the deadline is. And what I hear from people this time of year, and since people are rotating out every year, how can somebody today, I mean, we have all kinds of churches around here that are still sending packages out every week. And I know when I was in Iraq, every tent that I went into had little gifts that had been sent from home for people to use. So, I mean, there's still a huge amount of support from the people over here. But if people wanted to find a unit to adopt or wanted to, do something like that, is it still the process that you need to find a contact person in that unit and then work it out from there?
It is. And a lot of that was just for security concerns.
Right.
Early in the war, it was possible to send things to, like John Q. Soldier, and then that would go to pretty much anybody. But just security concerns don't really allow that. What I would encourage people to do is contact their local USO agencies.
Right.
Most large airports have USOs, and the USO itself is a national organization, and they are very good at getting things to us, and they would be a good place to start.
Well, and I tell you, the one thing I hope, and I realize the security issues, but it used to be you could send letters and cards to Walter Reed and other hospitals like that and just put, a wounded soldier. Can't do that anymore, even for a card. And I would really like to see a more organized effort on this side of the pond, so to speak, to be able to let people just kind of pour out their love that way, because you're not going to know the name of every soldier that's been hurt. But as I found out, there's a number of these guys that maybe don't have a big extended family, so it's not like you're going to have a family show up in the newspaper saying, hey, this soldier was hurt. So that's something I'm trying to wade through the bureaucracy on right now, which there is a lot of, and I know that they do it for the right reasons, but it makes it a little more difficult for people to reach out.
And I think you're on the right path. I'll tell you, there's nothing that changes your day around than seeing a card or any sort of little thing like that from folks back home expressing gratitude towards us here. And the same would certainly go towards those places back home like Walter Reed and things like that.
Well, Philip Ventura, we will not be talking to you next week because it is Thanksgiving, but we hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we wish you just the best, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you. We'll take a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Sean McNutt, and we'll stay with him on the Martha Zoller Show. Stay with us. We are back on the Martha Zoller Show, and if you go to USO.org, it'll come right up that there is a place where you can donate so that they can provide gifts for each of the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that are deployed right now. There is a place for monetary donation. If you get in touch with your local USO, and there is an office at the Atlanta Airport, one of the largest ones, you can find out about specific units. Also, you can contact bases around you, as well as in our case, we have a National Guard unit here. We can contact and find that out. But if you take a look at that website, you can see the entertainers and the people from all walks of the entertainment industry that have been to Iraq and Afghanistan to entertain the troops. And this is a continuing tradition. Began, I guess, with Bob Hope many, many years ago, but it continues on today. Joining me right now is Captain Sean McNutt, and we are so happy to have him here today with us. Captain, thank you for being with me today.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we're having a really tough time with your connection. Why don't you quickly tell us what your job is?
I'm a planner on Brigade Combat Team staff, essentially one of the little guys that does all the thinking and formulating in order to execute our combat operations down here south of Baghdad.
Well, you mentioned here that your great-grandfather was a cavalryman in World War I, and your grandfather was a cavalryman in World War II, and your dad was in Vietnam, so you've had a long history. My dad was actually in the Essex Troop out of New Jersey, and he was originally on horseback before he went to war when they were mechanized in 1942. So that's an interesting thing. Have we lost you, sir?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, good. So tell us how long you have been in the military.
I've been on active duty now for the past 6 years. I came on active duty about 10 days prior to September 11th attacks, and it's been a wild ride since then.
So you joined up before September 11th. What was that day like for you? Where were you on September 11th?
I was actually supposed to report to my first duty station at Fort Benning, Georgia, and couldn't get on post because of those attacks. So it was quite the interesting time. I called them and said, hey, can't get on post. What do you want me to do? They're like, just try coming in tomorrow. Once I got there, like I said, it was pretty fast pace, deployed about 6 months after that, and been pretty much nonstop since then.
And you're 33 years old now, so you joined the military a little bit later than most folks do. What led to that decision?
I joined, went to college and started ROTC about 3 years after high school. The decision that drove that was I was going nowhere fast. So I figured education was the best way out of the small little town that I lived in, and no problems with that decision. I'd do it all over again.
That's great. Well, Captain Sean McNutt, we're having a really difficult time hearing you, but we want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. We thank you for your service, and we'll get you back again when we can hear you a little better.
Okay, yeah, maybe next time we'll have a little bit better comms.
Sounds good. You know what? You're kind of halfway around the world, so that's what happens sometimes. Thank you, sir, and Godspeed.
Thanks, you too.
And we'll take a break right now. When we come back, we'll take it up to the top of the hour. Boy, he sounds like a great guy, but it was just a little too garbly, but we will try that again. You know how that goes. It's amazing. They're halfway around the world, and most of the time, the connection's great.